reading.
As you listen to what was read from the prophet Joel, basically it is talking about one of the greatest armies the world has ever known. And it is the army of God in this imagery. Although the individual soldiers in this army are actually quite small, this is what the prophecy of Joel is about. It is about the locust. And there are two messages in the book of Joel, or the prophecy of Joel. It's only three chapters, very brief. But the first two chapters focus on this locust plague that has come upon Israel. I believe one of our most recent ones is in Madagascar in 2013, in which they basically stripped the entire country bare. They say that locusts affect 1 in 10 people who live on our planet. That they can in fact infest up to 1/5. One single plague can infest up to 1/5 of the Earth's surface area. They come in the billions. And there's an account of where there was one plague in the United States in the 1800s, in which a farmer stood in his field watching the locusts fly through for over 5 hours. So they covered over 400 square miles in terms of the land coverage in one go. And they travel in this manner. But the message of Joel is simply this. In the day of the locust, remember the day of the Lord. In the day of trouble, remember that there is a great and terrible day. And those are actually the words of Joel that comes. And so just to give you a little more idea, I don't know if anyone here has ever seen locusts before. Anyone here? Apparently you've seen locusts? Have you ever eaten locusts? Apparently it's a delicacy. I don't know. And after watching this, if you don't like bugs, you might want to just, you know, turn your head. But they're apparently tasty. They're chocolate-covered grasshoppers in France, right? You know, and locusts are really big grasshoppers. Lots of protein. So here is an idea of what Joel is talking about. And I'll let the BBC explain.
Triggered by the rains, an all-devouring army. Locusts. Millions emerge from eggs buried in the sand, gathering into columns which stretch for 10 kilometers. At this stage they can't fly, only hop, but it doesn't hinder their progress. These spin hordes devastate any fresh growth in their path. After 5 weeks of steady munching, the infantry becomes the born. Breeding swarms can cover up to 80 kilometers a day, but only while the food and moisture last. So how do you define locusts in Africa? There are places where less than 50 centimeters of rain falls a year.
Talking about the locust. In fact, I was reading up on them. They're a fascinating creature, like unbelievable when you begin to just look into what they are. That when they swarm, they can eat up to 550 billion tons of greenery in one day. So you can imagine what a complete destruction they bring, especially to all societies. If you remember the reading, they just go over, nothing can stop them. The walls, they steal in the houses like thieves, and they just eat. And we all know that if we have no food, we die. And this is what was happening in Israel in this day, that these locusts had come and they had wreaked absolute devastation and continued to. The funny thing about locusts is this: they begin life as a small green grasshopper thing, but when they swarm, they transform, they change their color, they become striped, almost as if they become camouflaged from green to this arid desert color. And they begin to multiply. Even to this day, we have the threat of locust swarms covering a lot of northern Africa, all the way across to Turkey, Israel, and Iraq and Iran. So these are ongoing realities. And as I said, there was a recent huge locust problem and plague in Madagascar. They also had one in Australia. And you know how dry Australia already is. They had to combat that swarm. But what locusts represent, and throughout the Bible and through its imagery, is complete destruction. The question we have to ask, and the people of Israel begin to ask, and particularly the kingdom of Judah that was attacked by this swarm, is what do we do when bad things happen to us? Some simple reactions is, some people will blame God. Other people lose their faith. Still others live in despair or become cynical. Some believe that life is actually meaningless and absurd without purpose or plan. And so as Judah was suffering under these locust swarms, the message of Joel comes to the fore. The first thing Joel is asking us to do is to stop. Is to pause. And he wants to stop several things. He first of all says, stop doing what is wrong. Stop exploiting others. Stop being selfish. And he also says, stop and consider. So first of all, stop what you might be doing and turning against God, and move towards a place of reflection. And so locusts are actually a Lenten thought, very Lenten in their manner, asking us to reflect why we do what we do, why we live the way that we do. Consider your life, especially in times of trouble. What is the meaning of your life? And so an entire nation is stopped by the locusts. And the prophet Joel, of whom we know very little, and yet he is quoted in large part in the New Testament, he warns us during this time. There's one other imagery here that's a little bit beyond where Joel reaches. But a lot of scholars sometimes have said that this locust swarm was actually an invading army. Perhaps the Assyrians, perhaps the Babylonians, perhaps any one of those empires And some of us might think that they're like ISIS, you know, in our day and age. But the reality was that these locusts were not just figurative. They are real. We saw them in the BBC clip. But whatever it is, what we also recognize is that the true locusts a lot of times today are not these ones, these little insects. People themselves can live like locusts. That we ourselves can pillage others and bring suffering and oppression. And this is why the imagery moves towards, in the thoughts of many, whether they're philosophers or poets or Bible scholars, towards empires that consume, that do nothing but consume, that do nothing but want more for themselves. They are locusts. And the imagery that has moved into our popular culture also of locusts is a criticism oftentimes of our society. Are we the true locust swarm? And so Joel doesn't reach as far as that. But it is consideration that now that we've taken the locust imagery from Scripture, that many begin to explore as well. So stop. Consider in times of trouble the meaning of your life. This is the message of Joel. And most specifically, besides speaking about the locust swarm and stopping to consider the way that we live, whether we need to repent and change our ways, or whether we need to simply ask the questions, the very difficult questions about suffering, Joel speaks about this. The day of the Lord. I'm going to read from Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. And let me know if you've heard this before from somewhere else in Scripture. It reads, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The word of the Lord. Has anyone heard this passage from Joel before anywhere else? Anywhere? What book of the Bible it might have come from? From Acts? That's correct. It comes from the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples. And they run out in the streets. And at some point they're asked, what are you guys doing? Why do we hear these words about Jesus in our own language? In this miraculous way. And Peter speaks up and he quotes from the prophet Joel about the great and terrible day of the Lord. Now, if you've seen some of the footage of locusts, which, you know, besides the one I just showed, they do actually, in some places, blot out the sun. If you stand under them, they are like a cloud. And you can't see the sun. And at night, they do change the moon to the color of blood as you look up, as it's the only light in the sky. So this is the imagery. It is locust related. But it is also quoted more, I believe, sometimes when it's spoken about in Acts. And we reference Acts for this passage when Acts itself is going all the way back to Joel. The day of the Lord is this day. And the prophets have always put it this way. Don't be so quick to long for the day of judgment. Because this is what the day of the Lord is. It is a time of judgment. Don't long for it like you long for justice. Because the great day of the Lord, the day of the Lord is a great and terrible day. It is a great day because justice will bring all that is bad to an end. It is a terrible day because it is a day of justice when everyone gets what they deserve. We reap on that day what we sow. And so who escapes the day of the Lord? Who escapes the day of the locust? The answer is actually given in the same passage by Joel. It is the same passage that Peter declares to those who ask, "What shall we do given this sign of the Holy Spirit?" And the answer is this: everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans goes on to tell us, how can they call upon the name of the one that they do not know? Of whom they have never heard. To whom no one will go. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. What is the gospel? The gospel is this: that everyone who turns towards, who calls on the name of the Lord, will be saved. That the kingdom of God is coming and is already here. Which side are you on? All people are invited into the kingdom of God, but not all will enter in. There are even those who say that they're in the kingdom of God, but by their actions, as Jesus says, you tell a tree by its fruit. In the Lenten season, sometimes I look at what I've done and how I do things, my attitudes, and I realize that although the kingdom has come for me and I have mercy, I am still in need of the Spirit of a Savior. I still need to find my hope in Him. I still need transformation in my heart, in my life. And hopefully in the little ways in which I live my life, as much as the big, I bring light to the people around me. And so this is our measure. This is why we stop and consider the great and terrible day of the Lord. Well, if Joel just stopped there, that's pretty sobering. It's pretty down, I guess. But thankfully, it doesn't. As all prophets, Joel goes here. In Joel 2:25, directly after what I read, the Lord says, "I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten." You see, in the end, it's not about locusts. The locusts are only a sign to consider. It's a hardship, an opportunity, a warning for us to reflect, to give sober second thought to what we do and why we do it. The thing is, we all have locust days. The longer you've lived, the more locust days you probably have. And you all have different locust days. Whether it's bullying that you experienced, whether it's been abuse, whether it's disappointment or war or famine or abandonment, even death itself, displacement, sickness. We all have dark days. We all have locust days. But there is always a choice. And there is always hope. And there is always a name upon which you may call. Before I end, I'd like to show you how restoration might look.
My uncle was full of life and just so much joy. He loved to find the simple things in life and to just enjoy the present. And I so admired that about him. And I knew he cared immensely for me. And so when he took his life, I was shocked. We showed up at the house and there were cops and sirens and a lot of noises and lights. And we pulled up and I just remember knowing that he had died. That was really hard. My life started to spin out of control at that point. I started to make decisions about what I was going to do. And so I started drinking and I started doing drugs and I started to get into really unhealthy relationships. And I made a lot of poor decisions. It was like this perpetual cycle I couldn't get out of. And I had tried everything and nothing was working. So there was one day that I was handed a book called Echoes of Mercy by Nancy Elcourt. She's the founder of Mercy Ministries, a place where women can go and find help and healing through Christ. And so I read the table of contents of this book, half the first chapter, and in that moment, I knew that either I was going to go to Mercy and walk through this process, or I was not. I didn't know if I was going to live to see the next summer. Something inside of me started to believe that I could get better, even though I didn't think it was possible. Something in me started to believe that. One of the first steps at Mercy Ministries is to walk through forgiveness. And so I made a list, and my uncle was on that list. So that was really hard to forgive him for making a choice to walk away from my family. But I did, because I learned that forgiveness is a choice and not a feeling. I'd walked through forgiving the other people in my life, I still felt like there was something stopping me from more healing. I knew, like in that moment, that I had to forgive myself for the last 10 years of my life. And so I was praying one day, and I was like, oh, what is this? Like, I'll do whatever it takes. Like, I got nothing left. And I had a picture come to my mind. And I saw Jesus on the cross. And I saw myself screaming at it and pointing and saying, that's not good enough for me. But I knew the promises in the Bible, and I knew that God was going to be faithful if I was willing to walk through forgiving myself. It was as I walked that, the Lord like brought hope into my life and joy, and like I can't put it into words. Like, I can dance for the first time ever in my life. Like, I never thought that I would be this happy, that the relationships in my life, the really important ones, would be as amazing and as phenomenal as they are. I confidently can say that I walk in freedom, and that I walk in God's grace, because I still mess up, but I'm moving forward in the favor of God.
So I'm going to give you the opportunity perhaps right now to just stop and reflect upon your locust days. Or the locust days of those whom you love. And recognize the promise of God that He'll restore the years. It's funny. He doesn't say I'm going to restore the stuff. Because what gets eaten by our locust days is our lives. The years of anxiety. The things that are invisible to us. And perhaps in this moment of reflection, when we stop, I'll invite you to simply let the Holy Spirit minister to you and see how what God wants to restore and how He likes to do it and hear His promise. So let's take a few moments for this quietness.